Today on Real Life Radio.
Listen, some of you need to just soak in this. The nature of God is to love you. I know what you're thinking, but Jack, I'm such a jerk. Jack, I blow it so much. Jack, I'm so unworthy. I know you are. No, I do. Because I'm just like you.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack in a message called Only God Can Save You Now. Part 1 begins in the book of Philippians chapter 2 with verses 5 through 11. Now, in these verses, Paul encompasses everything about who Jesus Christ really is. He is God, the Savior, our Lord, and He came so that we might have eternal life. The title of our message today, Only God Can Save You Now, carries a great sense of urgency. Yet, it's not just a statement to view with a sense of hopelessness. It is an absolute fact. The real danger is not seeing it as both urgent and important. For example, Paul tells us that today is the day of salvation. This is an urgent call requiring an immediate response, but it's also an important biblical truth. Today, Pastor Jack tells us how Jesus possessed all that was God. He didn't have to go about trying to seize it, yet He uniquely came down to us as a servant. In the likeness of a man, Jesus stepped down into our world to save us. He did this by taking on all of our sin and failures and by offering us eternal life with Him. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
What is Jesus talking about? The Bible says no one can see God and live. Do we have a problem here? Because listen, on websites, there are people who say there's errors in the Bible, and I'll show you one. This is one of the verses. The Bible says nobody can see God and live. Then Jesus says, you can see God. You see? Jesus is talking about that very thing we're discussing in Philippians 2. Jesus is saying, if you've seen my nature that I've exposed to all of you, how I think, what I say, what I do, not my clothes or my face or my hair, you've seen the Father. He goes on, John 14, verse 8, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it'll be sufficient for us. See where Philip's at? He's where we were before this Bible study started. Just let us... Jesus, listen, it's no big deal. You can do anything. Just allow us to see your Father's thumb or an elbow, maybe his nose. If we saw that, we would be happy. And why, listen, honestly, why would Jesus grant such a sad and fleeting response? Because the nature of the person, the character of the person, transcends the physicalness of any person. Are you physically a certain way? What does that matter to your character of person? Have you ever heard somebody say, oh, look at that guy, look at that guy, look at that guy? I mean, he's integrity. You can't do that. You can say, well, that guy's handsome, short, tall, or small, or whatever, but it has nothing to do with integrity. You've got to know what's on the inside, and when it's brought from the inside out, now you can determine if the person has integrity. Are you with me? Amen. This is Jesus. No wonder why Isaiah says, physically had no beauty that we should desire him. What is Isaiah saying? Don't look at him for his looks. Know him for his character. Know him for his person. But we're still in John 14. So show us the Father. And Jesus in verse 9 says, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I and the Father and the Father in me and the words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works? Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Why? The works speak of the nature of the Father, and the very person who brought us the Father to consider is Jesus. Amen. Jesus is saying to us today, as I have shown you the Father, and as you'll see in next week's Bible study, that my obedience to the Father is how I want you to obey my Father. Because that's what it is to be a Christian. An amazing thing to think. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. The word robbery here in the Greek is amazing. Again, those of you who doubt the deity of Jesus, listen carefully to the meaning of the word. Jesus did not consider it something to be grasped or manipulated or schemed to obtain the station of deity. Jesus didn't have to think the thought. It's not even on the plate. He doesn't have to strive to be some form of deity. You want to know why? The word means because he didn't have to rob, he already had. In other words, on a very carnal level, no thief goes and steals something that he has. At least as far as I know, I don't know. You know, what's the deal with that? Maybe they're a thief, they steal everything all the time. But that's what the word means. If you possess something, you don't strive to go get it, do you? If you have it, you're not worrying about getting it because you have it. Listen, again, those of you who doubt the deity of Jesus, this verse means that Jesus possessed all that was God. He didn't have to try to go about seizing it. Oh, I love that. Is this your Jesus? If you have a Jesus less than this, then you're not going to heaven. It's that serious. Jesus Christ is Lord. Believe it or not, it's true. Receive it or not, it's true. He didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God. The word equal here means to be paired or the same as he was. Again, look at Colossians 2, and we'll add verses 8 and 9 this time together. Colossians 2, 8 and 9. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world. Watch out. And not according to Christ. Why? Verse 9, because in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Don't let anybody rob you from that truth. To be equal with God, Jesus Christ is by his very nature. He possesses that very character. And then thirdly, verse 7, only God can save you now. He saves uniquely by coming down to us. Look at verse 7, uniquely willing to become the servant. This is amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the God of the Bible, the Creator God. And he came as a servant. This is shocking. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. This is Jesus. The word reputation here is an amazing word. It means to willingly empty yourself. Listen, to willingly empty yourself in a way that you and I are called to do this from our level. But watch, Jesus is altogether different. When you are God, you've always existed eternal. This word, he made himself of no reputation. He embraced the downsizing, as it were, of his position. It didn't mean he stopped being God. That never changes. Jesus Christ gladly embraced, listen, something that was going to be his to do. According to the Bible, he would have to be in full agreement of it. He would want it just as the Father and the Holy Spirit wanted it. He would be delighted to, there's no hesitation to obey in this area. And what is that area? That eternal God would be forever, once being born into this world, human. Have you ever thought about this? Right now, in heaven, there is a man seated at the right hand of God the Father. Before he was born, he was always seated at the right hand of the Father, but he was not a man. Jesus is the God-man. God came to associate with us, born of a virgin, born into this world, to forever take on human body, human nature like that. Jesus did that. He, as it were, stepped down into our world to save us, to communicate God's love to us, that you would know the very nature of God. Listen, some of you need to just soak in this. The nature of God is to love you. I know what you're thinking, but Jack, I'm such a jerk. Jack, I blow it so much. Jack, I'm so unworthy. I know you are. No, I do. I do. Because I'm just like you. We're the same. And God says, that is absolutely irrelevant for my purpose for coming. I came because I love you, and you are completely hell-bound and lost, and only I can save you. But God, shh, leave it. That's what he did. He made himself of no reputation. He came here knowing. Can you imagine? Knowing. Being God, he knew he was going to be rejected. Being God, he knew his beard was going to be plucked out of his face. Being God, he knew that he was going to be spit on. Being God, he knew that he was going to be constantly misunderstood. Being God, he knew that those closest to him would turn on him. Being God, the very group of people that he associated himself with, the poor of the poorest of the poor, the most despised of the despised of ethnic groups of all human history, the Jew. God says, that's who I'm going to come to the world as, a Jew. Hey, look, if it was Canadians, he would have come as a Canadian. If it was Chinohillians, he would have come as a Chinohillian. It was a Jew. Think of that for a moment. His love for you. What is God like? Well, I don't know. Why don't you read the Bible and find out what Jesus is like? And you should be happily, very wonderfully surprised and glad. That's who he is. He made himself. He willingly became a servant. Listen, you think about this. The fact that he came for us to restore us. And you think about restoration. You think about recovering us as a human race that's bound by sin. We're all, listen, without Jesus, you're going to hell. I'm not saying that to offend you. You're actually on a train ride heading there. You just don't know it because no one's told you. The train's going to pull into the terminal soon, the station. And as you pull in, you'll hear the whistle blow and you pull up and it says, welcome to hell on it out there. And you say, well, I don't want to go there. Well, good then. Get off the train. And all you have to do is reach over from your seat and pull the lever and the train's brakes slam on. In the middle of a wilderness, get out. Get off the train. Because everyone's sitting in, reading their paper, they're having lunch, they're looking out the window, there's people walking or running up and down the aisles having a grand old time, and they have no idea the bridge is out or the track ends at terminal hell. And we're so busy. We're so constantly stimulated, and the importance has been drowned out by the urgent. We're all running 1,000 miles an hour. We don't even know where we're going. Jesus is saying, just pull the string, the train to stop. When it stops, you get off. And then it'll go. It'll just go again. But you have to make that decision personally. He's come to restore us. And you think of, has man ever been close to God like that? And the answer is yes, Adam and Eve. Before Adam and Eve sinned, they were living in perfection. You and I have no idea what that's like. They were living in a garden. That's awesome. They were naked. That's very awesome. No, you know, I'm very awesome because you know what? That means it's like 75 degrees in the Garden of Eden. And they were naked, which means there was no shame inside of them. They have no shame. Think of that for me. I mean, we have to imagine because it's not even possible for us. But think about it. It's funny because everybody's trying to cover up their bodies, and then what part they think looks good, they'll kind of show a part of it. Not knowing that they're the ones that think it looks good. We would send them an email saying, can you cover that up? Because we're all kind of getting sick. So you're all messed up from the beginning. It's like, ooh, look at this, ooh, look at this. And it's like, please, please. They didn't have any of that. Adam and Eve, Adam didn't say, Eve, babe, listen, I don't know, man. But you ought to take a run around the garden a few more times because you're kind of getting flabby there. There's none of that. She didn't say, Adam, come on, buddy. Too much of those Krispy Kremes going on, you know? None of that. They were naked. And the Bible says they weren't ashamed. They lived in absolute perfection. Can you imagine? You can only imagine. What was that like? They talked with God. Hi, God. The Bible says in the cool of the day, he walked with them. You and I will never know what that's like until Jesus comes. Oh, my goodness. But what was it like? Can you imagine? It's Eve. Maybe Eve's going to make a salad. I mean, they lived in a garden. They had salad. Seriously, come on. So, you know, let's say she wanted carrots for the salad or beets or whatever, right? And it had to be like this. As soon as she thought the thought and went to turn to ask Adam, because he's the gardener, right? Say, Adam, oh, there you are. I was just going to ask you, I know, you want beets and carrots, right? Yes, I'm right on it. And she might have been cooking it up and saying, oh, Adam, you know, I know you're watching the Super Bowl right now, but I got to go to the mall. Adam would say, no, listen, there's no Super Bowl more important than me. I'm going to go to the mall with you. And then she would say, no, really, I don't want to take you away from anything. Oh, but being with you is the only thing in the whole world that matters to me. And the whole time God's like watching this whole thing. He's like, wow, look at these two. Why? Because listen, he came, he who being in the form of God didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He came to serve us with salvation. People want God to serve them with, God, give me money. You're talking about all the physical stuff. Honestly, just like if you saw the face of Jesus, it wouldn't change your heart. And just like if he gave you all the money. What's the big thing up today? $1.3 billion if you win the lotto? $1.3 billion this morning? Billion. We have too much money. If we have to gamble like that, we're too rich. So what if you win that? You're going to change your life? Statistics show it ruins your life. Did you know that? Oh, not me. That's the same person that says, I'm going to go to heaven without God. I can do it on my own. No, you're not. Only God can save you now. Father, we thank you for your truth, for your words. My goodness, God, thank you, Almighty Lord. Oh, Jesus, all to him we owe. Jesus, God, we praise you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you are Jesus the Christ. You're the wonderful counselor. The mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Messiah, the Lord, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the Ancient of Days, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God with us, the God our Savior, the only wise God and Savior, the Lord who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty, Jesus, the door, Jesus, the Chief Shepherd, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, Jesus, the Bishop of our souls, Jesus, the Lamb of God. Jesus, the foundation of the world. Jesus, the Logos. Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus, the light of life. Jesus, the tree of life. Jesus, the word of life. Jesus, the bread of life. Jesus, the resurrection, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, the Emmanuel. Jesus, the rock, the bridegroom, the redeemer, the beloved of God, the head over all. The one who is altogether lovely, the one who alone is well-pleasing to the Father, Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. It is time for some of you, perhaps today, to do as Jesus has taught us in his example here, that what was invisible and unknown to mankind became visible by Jesus Christ coming into the world and showing us the very nature of God. Jesus took what was invisibly on the inside and spoke and did tangibly on the outside. And for some of you today, it's time for you to do that in reverse. What do I mean? Today's the day for you to take what you say you believe on the inside. You would say today, if interviewed, oh yes, I'm a Christian. Or yes, I believe. You would say it on the inside, but you've never said it on the outside. You've never let what's on the inside out in reality. You've hidden behind a secret, unbiblical, ungodly form of embarrassment. And God is calling you out today, friend. He is saying today, Jesus said it this way, you will, who acknowledge me before people, I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. If you reject or deny or ignore me before people, I will reject or deny you before my Father. Today's the day for some of you who to go public with what you think is true on the inside. You've never brought it out of the recesses of your soul. And I'm going to ask you today to forget about what your friends think, forget about what your neighbor thinks, forget about everybody else on this planet. Right now, today, you obey God. And if you claim to be a Christian and you've never publicly made that stand, I'm asking you today to do that. Today is a day of a crisis. It's a good crisis. This is an urgent moment. Only God can save you now. And I'm asking you to agree with him. While we play this song, I'm going to ask you to get up as fast as you can and you come forward to the base of these stairs and you stand here. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer in a moment. But I want you to go public for Jesus. Declare him as Lord, because only he can save you now. You come forward as God speaks to you. Dear Lord, I come to you now asking you to forgive me of all my sins. I look to you to be my salvation. Thank you, Lord. I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio in a message called Only God Can Save You Now. Thanks for listening today. Our hope is that you answer God's call by accepting his son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior. We'll continue with more on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Well, our good friend William Federer has done it again. He's written a book called Socialism, How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crisis to Consolidate Control. Isn't that what it's about? Control. Seems like everybody is seeking to control you these days. Why is that the narrative? Why is that what you're hearing about on the news? And let's be honest, everybody, why is it that that's what you're feeling when it comes to your own rights and freedoms and that of your children? Because there is a group of people who practice socialism who want to control you. This is the new America unless we put a stop to it. And this book will help you do that. It will give you incredible insights and historical backgrounds literally throughout history. Which is the deep state? It is that action of control. How do we know? Well, you know what, everybody? It's been happening since Plato, and it's happening right now in our present day.
Socialism, How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crisis to Consolidate Control, written by William J. Federer. It's available at jackhibbs.com for a gift of any amount. That's jackhibbs.com. Our phone number, if you'd like to write this down, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.